Sometimes the fun begins when the paved road ends. Chevy Silverado 2500 HD is made to work hard and play hard on the road or off. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and experience life in HD.
Time for legal briefs. Karen Conti is off this week, but Michael Leonard of Leonard Trial Lawyers is with us. Mike, good morning to you. Let's talk first about the ruling about the White House ballroom construction. A judge says it has to stop. Is this a question of a president's authority?
Exactly, Bob. So the court essentially found that he didn't have the power authorization to engage in this type of renovation, and that essentially Congress has to authorize funds specifically for a purpose, and that none of those things have happened. You might just be delaying the inevitable because Congress could then attempt to go ahead and authorize the funds anyways. But for now, the project will be on hold subject to the judge's preliminary injunction.
Is it also a similar question regarding the federal judge blocking the president's order to end funding for NPR and PBS because only Congress can either allocate or withhold funding?
A little different in the sense that for the NPR and PBS decision, you know, Trump had entered an executive order essentially saying that they would not be funded. And in the language of that executive order, particularly went out of his way to say that they're not unbiased, that they are biased, et cetera, et cetera. So in that case, the court said you can't defund them, you know, based upon taking away their First Amendment rights, meaning that their First Amendment rights were being implicated by this executive order. So a slightly different rationale.
Am I the only one confused about these executive orders? How legal are they? Because oftentimes it seems like the president can issue an executive order for almost anything, and then it's a question of whether it's legal or not. What's the story on that?
Yeah, that's a great question, and that's what kind of been happening repeatedly in these large cases that are getting so much attention, and that he'll issue an executive order, but it doesn't necessarily mean anything because, of course, the constitutionality of them is often challenged, meaning someone will go to court and say, hey, you've entered the executive order, but it's not enforceable. So they'll run to a district court and try to get an order saying this isn't enforceable because it violates the Constitution or it's contrary to a law that Congress has passed. So it is problematic because we keep getting these large fights in court where you would think a president normally wouldn't put an order in place that clearly or looks like on its face may violate the Constitution.
Right. Let's talk about the FBI agents who were fired. Now there's a lawsuit against Pam Bondi, the agents terming this a retribution campaign. Isn't the question here about the rights of civil servants?
Exactly. Good framing of the issue, Bob. So essentially, three agents have filed a lawsuit, but it's on behalf of all agents who are sort of similarly situated to them, meaning it sounds like there's maybe up to 50 agents who've been fired, and they're alleging in the case that it's retribution for political views. The three agents who brought the case, who are the named plaintiffs, are arguing that they got fired because they were part of the investigation into the alleged election improprieties, that case involving Jack Smith that we heard so much about. However, they're broadly alleging that all sorts of other agents, up to 50, were also fired for different political views, ranging from support of Black Lives Matters to LGBTQ rights and things of that nature. So it's essentially arguing that as public servants, they can't be fired for their political views or their participation in legitimate investigations on behalf of the FBI.
How strong a case do you think these agents have? How hard will it be to prove what they're alleging?
Well, it's always, you know, always the question is, you know, in the discovery process, what are the smoking guns going to be? I'm assuming, and I'm sure they are, that there's going to be a lot of internal communications directing people to be fired and directing people to investigate, to be investigated. So, you know, the proof's going to be kind of in the pudding, but typically in these cases, there always are those kind of smoking gun emails that will help support a plaintiff's case.
And the big story today, the Supreme Court will hear the birthright citizenship case. And do you think we will get a decision in the summertime?
Yeah, so when the Supreme Court hears argument, you know, typically it could be a long duration between the argument and the actual issuance of the opinion. So I'd say at best we'll get a decision by the end of the summer. It might could be months longer than that, but, you know, probably within the 3 to 6 month time frame.
Will it matter at all to the judges that the president of the United States is going to be sitting right there in front of them?
You know, I don't think so. It's a pretty interesting circumstance. It's going to create kind of a circus. This will be the first time ever that a sitting president has gone to an argument. Of course, many are arguing that he's trying to intimidate the court, trying to influence the court. I don't think that they'll have any demonstrable reaction to him, but certainly it creates a kind of a weird situation when the president is sitting there listening to an oral argument, which has just never happened before and is probably will never happen again.
The president says this has to do with originally had to do with the protection of slaves. Do you agree with that? Is he right?
Well, yeah, the genesis of the right to be a citizen dates back to that era where it was thought to be very important that anyone born on U.S. soil, including children of slaves, would be U.S. citizens. So that's kind of going back in time. However, we've had a couple hundred years of history of this law, and, you know, pretty much universally people have thought over the years that the 14th Amendment guarantees the right to be a citizen as long as you're born here, with a couple of notable exceptions. If you're part of an invading army, you don't get to be a citizen, or if you're part of a foreign government who has offices here, you don't get to be a citizen. But other than that, people for a long time have believed the Constitution protects that right. So it'll be very interesting to see what the Supreme Court does with this one. And, of course, it's getting a ton of attention.
So many of these Supreme Court decisions, especially dealing with guns, have to do with laws that were put on the books, you know, many, many, many years ago, and the reasons they were enacted into law then. And then the court, I mean, the real challenge for the court is then to frame it in today's world. And the question then is, does it still apply? Is this what the framers of the Constitution had in mind back in the day?
Yeah, I mean, you get in these kind of, in my view, you know, these crazy arguments about let's try to get it back in the heads and minds of what the founding fathers thought in the late 1700s and trying to apply that logic to things that were, you know, could not be expected or anticipated and are just way beyond the scope of what they might have thought about. So I think it's a great framing of the issue by you, and that's what the court always does. It tries to go back historically and see, you know, first of all, why was the law or constitutional provision put in place? And then how does that play out in today's society? And sometimes the court's making analogies that, you know, don't seem very apt to our modern day era.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the debate rages on, and we've got one going today. Good job. For Karen Conti, it's Michael Leonard of Leonard Trial Lawyers. Appreciate it. Thank you very much, Michael. You have a nice day.
I appreciate it, Bob. Take care. Thank you.